views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Sherry believes that we're all psychic, and she's the expert in understanding the various ways that intuition naturally surfaces and activating your most powerful and natural wisdom, your psychic knowing. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. Tap into the divine within to harness your innate ability to co-create abundance, harmonious relationships, joy, and well-being in a fun and interesting way. Now, here's your host, Sherry Dillard.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're having a great day. This is Sherry Dillard in the should-be warm state of North Carolina, but we are having a cold afternoon here. We just had some hail, quite unusual. I'm so glad you're here today listening. We're going to have a great show. We've got today, my guest is Alan Mesher, and he's an author, a speaker, an energy master for 3 decades. And in his consultations, seminars, and public appearances, he has helped thousands of people overcome their personal struggles and elevate their lives. His clients include high-powered professionals, CEOs, politicians, psychologists, doctors, Academy Award and Grammy Award winners, and the family of a former president of the United States. He has authored 3 books on personal and spiritual growth. They are Journey of Love, The T-Zone, and Just Who Do You Think You Are? And a novel, The Silent Steps of Grace, that actually 2 prominent Hollywood producers have expressed interest in adapting to the big screen. So wouldn't that be good to watch that? We're going to talk about that book in just a couple minutes. I also want to mention that Alan's also been the publisher of the Yoga Journal and host of radio talk shows in San Francisco and Austin. His work has been featured in the San Francisco Examiner and the Philadelphia Inquirer. Alan has appeared on TV in numerous nationally syndicated radio shows, including several appearances on Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. So, Alan is a healer, energy healer, author. Today, you know, he has a book that he put out, I believe, in 2012, his first novel called The Silent Steps of Grace. We're going to focus on the book a little bit today. But before we do that, let me introduce Alan, and maybe he can tell us a little bit of background on his work as an energy healer and lead us into a little bit about his book and how that came to be, especially considering it's his first novel. So, Alan, are you with us?
I am with you, Sherry.
Great. How are you today?
Excellent. And you?
I'm doing very well. So I was saying that, you know, you're coming from a background of many, many years of being an energy healer. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that, just to lead into how that led to writing this novel?
Well, it started when I was a young fella just out of college. I had moved to New Hampshire, a little town in New Hampshire, Peterborough, beautiful place, and I kept hearing stories about an older woman named Eleanor Moore, and everyone seemed to think Eleanor had eyes in the back of her head, and they would all say, you go in and you see Eleanor, and she knows everything about you immediately, and they had incredible stories about how this woman had healed and affected their lives for the better. So I felt I could at that time in my life, I thought, I can really use this woman's help. I was dying to meet her. No one would tell me how to get to her, which I found very odd. And finally, one day, a friend of mine there said, hey, I'm going down to Eleanor's tonight. It happened to be like Christmas Eve. He said, do you want to come? I said, you know I want to come. So we jumped in his car, went down there to her town, and when we got to her house, I went running up the front steps and knocked on her door. And she came to the front door, this little lady with these glowing brown eyes, radiating so much heat and light. And she said, "Who are you?" So I told her my name, and she said, "Well, come in." And she told my friend, "Dick, you take your guitar and go in and play for all the folks in my living room. I want to take this young man into my office and talk to him for a few minutes." And I said, "Oh, my God, this is what I want. Thank you, Lord. What a Christmas present." So we went into her office, and she started telling me about my life. She asked me to let her see my hand, so she took my hand in hers and pretended that she was reading my palm, but she didn't need that. That was just a tool to make people feel more comfortable. And she started saying all these specific things that had happened to me that no one would know but my mother and father. So I was hooked. She had my immediate attention. And then she said, "You know, you're right behind me, and the things that I do, you're going to do one day." And I said, "I can't do what you do. There's no way." And she laughed and she said, "Oh, yes, you can. And one day your work will go around the world." And I said, "I don't think so." And she said, "Give me your hand again." So I gave her back my hand. She took it between both of hers. And I felt this tremendous charge of energy race up my arm, up my spinal column, into my head, and into my forehead. And when it hit my forehead, there was this big, loud pop. And all of a sudden, the room became filled with golden light to my sight. And where she was sitting, I couldn't see her because the gold light around her was so bright. And as she just kept holding my hand, and I just felt this tremendous energy radiating all through my body. And before I knew it, my feet were starting to leave the ground so that only my toes were on the floor. And I said, "Oh, my God, I can't do this." And I pulled my hand away, and I said, "I got to go." And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, I can't handle any more of this. I'm going to go be a lawyer." And she laughed and she said, "Well, you can go be a lawyer if you want. You have free will, but that's not your destiny." And I left. I just couldn't take any more. So a few weeks later, I made my way down there again. It was in an afternoon, and I knocked on her door, and she came, and she looked at me, and she smiled big, and she said, "What took you so long?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "I've been calling to you telepathically to get down here for the last few weeks. You're slow as can be." And I said, "Well, I guess I am." And she invited me into her kitchen. She had all these clients sitting around her circular table, and she invited me to join them. And she was telling stories. They were parables, things I'd never heard before. They were fascinating stories. And each one was relevant to some person at that table because it illustrated a life set situation and a lesson they were in the process of undergoing and learning. And as she talked, you could feel this energy pulsating and moving through the room. And all of a sudden, some of these people would burst out in laughter or they'd burst out in tears. And I watched all these faces change and transform before my very eyes. I'd never seen anything like it. Some people's faces seemed like they were jammed up, and all of a sudden they got longer. Some people's faces seemed to be heavier. One side of the face would seem to be a lot heavier than the other side. All of a sudden the heaviness was gone and the face was in balance. Some people's eyes were narrow and beady and not wide open. All of a sudden their eyes got wide open and the narrowness and the beady quality disappeared. And when all those people left, their cheeks were glowing, their eyes were bright, and they were happy as could be. And I looked at this in amazement and I said, "Wow." So I hung out with Eleanor for 3 years, and it wasn't that she taught me anything directly. I would listen to what she said. I would watch how she worked. It was modeled for me, and then I would go find people to work on and experiment with them and do what I could, and that's how I learned. And the first real energy healing that I did that, in my mind at least, was successful happened to be on a little dog, a poodle, that my girlfriend and I were taking care of. The poodle was out playing in the front yard of this farmhouse where we lived, and a neighbor walked by with his big, great St. Bernard, and the St. Bernard attacked the poodle, bit it on the diaphragm, and you heard, all of a sudden, heard this, you know, this screaming, this, you know, barking, and a painful barking coming from the front, and I looked out, and there's a poor little poodle laying on its back with its legs up in the air, you know, barking its little heart out. So I ran out there, grabbed the poodle, picked it up, and could hear, like, it sounded like a prick balloon, the air coming out of its diaphragm. And I said, oh, my God. So I took the poodle, put it in my car, and went to the vet. The vet took a look at the poodle and said, it's got a, you know, a cut, a penetrated diaphragm. There's nothing I can do for this. I don't think the dog will make it through the night. And he said, call me tomorrow morning. I'll let you know what happens. I'll stay up with it for a while. So I went home. I was very upset. And about, quarter of 10 or so, I decided that I needed to meditate and do what I could from the distance to help that dog in any way I could think of. So I started meditating, and all of a sudden I heard a voice speaking in my ear. And the voice said, take your hands and put them palm facing each other about 10 inches apart. So I did that. And then it said, now let the energy flow down your arms through your palms and let it collect in the space between your hands. So I could feel, all of a sudden I could feel this tremendous surge of heat and electricity running down my arms and through my hands into the area between my hands. And then the voice said, now call the soul of the dog to you and call it right to that space between your hands. I said, how do I do that? And the voice said, just call the dog soul. So I did it. And I could sort of feel something subtle come right between my two hands in that field of energy. And this went on now for another maybe 5 to 10 minutes. And the voice said, okay, send the soul back to the dog and let go. So I said, okay, doggy soul, go back to dog. I took a deep breath. I relaxed. I let go. And that was that. And then I went to bed. I looked at the clock. It was 10 minutes after 10. The next morning, I called the vets at 9. I said, how's my dog? And the vet said, well, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I never would believe it. That dog's hole in the diaphragm sealed up right in front of my eyes at 10 minutes after 10 last night. And I said to myself, oh, my God. The vet said, come on down. Get your dog. It's fine. Just don't let it run around for about a day.
Alan, I'm going to have we're going to have to take a break. That's an incredible story. We're going to find out more about Alan, his work, and what his book is all about in our next segment when we come back from a break. This is Sherry Dillard, and this is Intuit University, and we'll be right back.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Saskia has been helping clients around the world find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams or to schedule your Soul Breakthrough Session with Saskia or call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861. Or visit YourSoulGuidance.com. That's YourSoulGuidance.com to receive the Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 days.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session. Or dial 415-235-2807.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusGeneration.com.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Intuit University, and I'm Sherry Dillard. You can find out more about me and some of the work I'm doing and kind of what I'm up to if you go to my website, www.sherrydillard.com, and sign up for my newsletter, and I can send you out some newsletters. I do not flood people with them, so I promise to not overwhelm you. We're talking today to Alan Mesher. You can find out more about Alan on alanmesher.com, and that's alanmesher.com. If you're just joining us, Alan's been talking about his work as a healer, how he got started, and his first experience with healing, which was actually with a dog of his. We're going to go back to Alan. He's going to kind of lead into more about his book, The Silent Steps of Grace, which is a novel, his first novel. And it's a interesting, transformative story about maybe we'll let Alan describe it to us. So, Alan, how did the healing work that you kind of started talking to us about, the great story about how you got started with this, how did that lead into the book? How did the work in general...
The book is about a Tibetan monk, and it covers a period of time from 1925 to 1967. It's really the first volume of a trilogy, and the monk's name is Tenzin, and it's the story of what he has to endure because when he turns 25 or so, the Chinese invade Tibet and upset his entire peaceful, joyous, happy life that he had been living up till that time. And he's ordered by his senior monk out of the country, and he's ordered to go to America, but he's got to take a perilous journey across the Himalayas with a lot of snow as their winter is coming on. And he leaves with great regret, not knowing the fate of anyone in the monastery, all the dear people that he knows, and his mentor, who is incredibly, incredibly close to him, as well as his own mother, father, sisters, nieces, nephews, who live to the east of the monastery, directly in the path of the Chinese invasion. So he has no idea what's happened to anyone, and he has to make his way alone with one other young monk across the Himalayas to Delhi, to the American embassy, where instructions are waiting for him about going to America. So this young man actually has a tremendous healing gift himself, and his mentor, whose name is Dozen, is a healing master and teaches the young man many tools and tricks of his trade that he has developed over a lifetime of service. So our protagonist and hero, Tenzin, sets out under perilous circumstances on a journey to where he really does not know how it will end in any form. He does eventually end up in Santa Monica, California, and he's taken in by an older woman whose husband was the former ambassador to India. And this lady had gone to Tenzin's monastery many, many, many years earlier to study for a brief period of time with Dzogchen, the healing master. So it's the story of this young man and what befalls him through his journey to America and after, when he learns what has happened to all of the people left behind in Tibet. And not that I want to give that away, but it's a story that involves so many human challenges, crises, suffering that people undergo on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know, you talk about that being a kind of a template. The Silent Steps of Grace is a template for the hero's journey. And, you know, the hero is a archetype that we all, at some time in our life, especially those on a spiritual path, conscious spiritual path, and of course, even if you're not conscious of it, the hero's journey is an archetype that at some point we'll all experience. But how would you describe that archetype, the hero's journey?
The hero's journey, well, you know, it's all about challenges, suffering, overcoming, transforming, and achieving victory, really, over the negative forces that assail you, and in the process becoming a much stronger, more conscious, more dedicated, purposeful individual with great insight not only into oneself but into other people, and you become a person that has a greater capacity to give, to serve, to love, to help, to heal, and uplift. So that is the hero's journey.
I think we can all relate.
We'll have to go through at one point or another. You know, the spiritual path is not for chickens.
No, it sure isn't, is it? No.
No, it's a very, very difficult, demanding path, but eventually everyone has to go through it.
Yeah,
and it takes many, many lifetimes. So this is the template. And as there was a woman who did some editing for me named Maureen Barron, and Maureen is a former vice president and editor in chief of Penguin Books and the All American Library, and was so for a New American Library, excuse me, and was so for about 35 years. So I had contacted Maureen about editing some of the book, and she said, "Not so fast, young man. Send me 50 pages, and I'll tell you if it's something I want to do or if it's something I feel I can do." I said, good enough. So I was in L.A. at the time. She was in New York. I sent her the 50 pages. She got them, jeepers, within 24 to 36 hours. I heard back from her 2 days later. I was shocked. She said, "I read your 50 pages. Send me the rest. I want to do this book." She said, "It's very intriguing. You write very well." And I said, "Stop right there and repeat that last sentence, please.
Yeah.
I want to remember it."
Right.
So, you know, and at the end, when she got done, she sent it back with a note, and there was this sentence. She said, "Tenzin is irresistible. I wish I had his number when I needed a bit of comforting myself." And I think that's a sentiment that many people who have read the book would also agree with, because Tenzin is the very wise friend we all wish we all had, who could guide us through the difficulties of our lives. And in many ways, for people reading this book, it's a page-turner. People will get engrossed in the story, but also there's so much inspiration there and educational materials to help people deal with what's going on in their lives. So it becomes much more than just a story that will entertain you for a few hours or a couple of weeks. It's a story that can have a tremendous impact on your life, upgrade it, transform it, and lead you to a much better place. It gives a lot of hope when things are dark.
You know, and we're going to have to take a break in a few minutes, but one of the things I want to talk about when we come back is, and I was saying this during the break, during one of our breaks, is that one of the things that I admire about Alan's work is that he's been involved in the spiritual healing world for most of his adult life, as we heard a moment ago. And but he's not living this book is not in a kind of a corner of that reality at all. It's actually a very comprehensive understanding of kind of life on Earth, too. The politics, things we experienced in history, why things have happened, and how the spiritual and the political, physical, material world interacts and kind of probably collides together. And he's got some real interesting kind of notes that I want to maybe tap into a little bit about some of the history, because, you know, keep in mind the book is written during the period, the turbulent period in our history of 1925 to 1967, which was the time of the Tibetan Holocaust and the Vietnam War. And there was a lot of interesting political things happening at that time, obviously, along with the spiritual happening of the real destabilization of Tibet. So we're going to talk a little bit more about all that when we come back. And again, this is Sherry Dillard. We've been talking to Alan Mesher. He is the author of The Silent Steps of Grace. He's also an energy healer. And Alan, you're still working as an energy healer.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I sure am.
Okay. And what that entails, you have clients by phone?
I do all my work now by phone ever since from 1999 on. I just do it by phone. People could live next door to me. I still do it by phone. And it's very powerful by phone and very effective, and it means that people can relax and don't have to be self-conscious because
right.
they're on their own.
So Alan is still working. If anybody's interested in the healing work that he does, you can check that out. More about Alan, contact him on his website, alanmesher.com. I'm Sherry Dillard, www.sherrydillard.com. And, of course, I would love for you to check out my website also. My book, Discover Your Psychic Type, this week, I heard was being translated into Polish and Latvian. It's in Russian, Japanese, and French right now. So that was kind of a nice surprise I got this week. And all right, so we'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit again more about the politics of the book, the spiritual, how that all intersects, the story behind the book, The Silent Steps of Grace, and we'll be right back. Hello, everybody. This is Sherry Dillard. This is Intuit University, and we've been talking to Alan Mesher about his new book, his novel, Silent Steps of Grace. We're going to dig into that in just a moment. I do want to mention that I am having a workshop this Sunday, April 7th, in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. It's about connecting with higher energies, and it's very experiential. It's an all-day workshop. I've got some people coming in from actually all over the country. So if you'd like to take a quick trip down to Chapel Hill and come to the workshop, please, I'd love to have you. We are talking about his book, Alan Mesher. And one of the things, Alan, that you say that I read about the book, which I really would love for you to address, is you wrote, if you wonder why America and the rest of the world has been morally degraded and destabilized, The Silent Steps of Grace will illuminate the dark agenda now threatening the earth. If you wonder if there's an answer to the planet's plight and fear, it's too late even if there is. The Silent Steps of Grace will give you hope and courage. So, Alan, tell us about that.
Wow, that is a big, vast subject.
I would begin
by saying something fairly general, then I'll get into some specifics. And the general statement is this: one of the most important aspects of ourself that we can develop in this time is the spiritual aspect of ourself, because the powers that be that rule this planet know just how powerful our spirit and our minds are, and they are desperate to control us so that we cannot tap in to our real power and create a reality that is much more harmonious, peaceful, and abundant and healthy all over this world. They don't want that. They want total control and subjugation of the human race.
Wow.
So how are they going about it? that becomes the next question. And I want to speak currently, and then I'll go into some of the historical things about it. So first, you know, look at the skies. You'll see these huge white streaks across them that spread out and become like a cloud cover on beautiful blue sky, sunny days. Now, what is that? It's not just exhaust trails from jet planes. It's the stuff called chemtrails that are loaded with toxic chemicals and bacteria and viruses that we're all breathing in. Also, this stuff falls to the ground. It gets in the water supply. It gets in the ground. It gets into our food. So we can't avoid it no matter what. And all of this stuff, what it does, it really affects our energy levels, the clarity of our minds, how we're able to function or not function. It creates all sorts of distress. You can find tons of information on the Internet if you just Google chemtrails. That's number one. Number two, you know, our food supply is becoming more and more GM, genetically modified,
yeah,
all
really
the time.
Is.
That's not good for us. It's very bad for the liver. It's very bad for the brain. It's very bad for the gut. It destroys healthy bacteria, creates all these diseases in the stomach, and et cetera, et cetera. They've done a lot of testing with mice on this, and what they have found is that if they're fed a diet of genetically modified food, within three generations, they become sterile and can no longer reproduce.
Wow.
So is there a connection between GMs and a depopulation agenda? It's an interesting question to research. So there you have a couple of things, you know, and then the other campaign is to get everyone on medications, on meds, on all sorts of psychotropic drugs, which alter brain chemistry and also make people much more easy to program and control. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things we have to deal with. And then also there's the media, the pop culture, which just continues to lower the standards of morality, take us down into the gutter. You know, what you see on TV, the contemporary music, it's so sexually oriented. It's all about promiscuity. You know, they're not instilling good values at all. They're instilling all of these things that are not helpful to the human condition whatsoever. So the antidote to all of this is to focus on your spirituality, on developing your inner power, your inner muscles, on clearing your brain and mind, on eating correctly, on drinking pure water, you know, getting healthy exercise when you can. All these things are critical. So those are some of the issues that I'm just sketching over very, very briefly as we talk right now. But then there's an interesting history, you know, in all of this about control. And we can go back in time. Let's just go back in time to when Kennedy was president. Because in my book, with the assassination of JFK, it opens up this whole discussion and exploration of what I call the hidden history of the United States. This is something that very few people know. But 7 days before Kennedy was assassinated, he said this: "There is a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high and noble office, I intend to expose that plot." So there you go. I mean, Kennedy,
what was he talking about?
Pardon me?
What was he referring to?
He's talking about the plot to take over the world, to control everyone, to enslave everyone in the country. You know, he was talking about what's called the Illuminati and their plans of world takeover and world conquest that they've been trying to do now for really thousands of years. Kennedy,
now, in the Da Vinci Code, the book by
Dan Brown,
right? Which was, you know, we all know, sensational book and was a movie and really quite interesting. There's a correlation I'm feeling here, getting here, between your book and this book, and that your book and the Da Vinci Code, because in the Da Vinci Code, was that the same, not maybe the same, but it was it a similar kind of force there that he was talking about also?
Well, I think, you know, Dan Brown would be much kinder to the Illuminati than the historical record and evidence would warrant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, in his view, as I remember it, the Illuminati were actually somewhat of a force for good. They represented progress, science, evolution. Uh-huh. And the church represented orthodoxy, holding on to the past, preventing
right.
progress. So he had that sort of opposition set up in his book, and that was the tension that really drove all his characters.
Right.
So it's a little different. Now let's just go back to Kennedy briefly
right.
here, because history gets very interesting.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have this stuff in my book, but some of the research that I did uncovered these facts. Now, when Kennedy got elected, and before he was inaugurated, he and Jackie Kennedy lived in, I believe it was Georgetown, and one of their neighbors was a woman named Mary Pinochet Ware. And Mary became very good friends with Jackie, and they used to walk each day in the morning. And then she became friendly with Jack and actually had an affair with him. And she got Kennedy to experiment with her with taking LSD.
Oh, wow.
But they did it under controlled therapeutic okay. conditions. And in those experiences, all of this hidden subconscious programming came up for Kennedy that had been installed in him earlier, and that would be the vehicle that would guide his presidency and control what he would be doing as president of the United States. And he decided when all of this stuff came up that he was not going to be working for the globalists or the international bankers or
uh-huh.
the Illuminati, who were part and parcel of all these things, but he wanted to work for the American people. He wanted to create a free and democratic America in reality, not just in fiction. So what did Kennedy do? Well, the first thing he did was he fired Alan Dulles
mm-hmm.
as director of the CIA in 1961. Then he decided that he was not going to continue the war in Vietnam. He was going to recall all the advisors and all the troops and get us out of Vietnam. Then he was going to take away from the Federal Reserve their right to print our currency and give it back to the U.S. Treasury, where it belonged by constitutional decree. So he had the Treasury issue Treasury notes that were backed by silver. I believe there are some 4 billion of those that went into circulation. Well, the powers that be, I mean, this was too much for them. First of all, you know, they controlled the CIA. It was their baby, their vehicle, and they wanted their guy in charge. And Kennedy also said that he was going to blow up the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. Well, none of this is going to sit well with the controlling faction
mm-hmm.
of
yeah.
individuals that controlled the, you know, the policies and directions of this country. So Kennedy had to go, and go he did. Now, immediately after the assassination and the swearing-in of Lyndon Baines Johnson, who, by the way, is a Freemason, and there is an interesting corollary between that and the assassination of Abraham Lincoln 100 huh. years earlier in 1864, or no, April of 1865 he was murdered, a month after he was inaugurated. Now, why was Lincoln assassinated? Because he refused to take the loans of money from
right.
the Rothschild Banking Syndicate and instead created his own central bank to circulate and print their own money rather than take loans from, you know, the international bankers. Well, that didn't go over well because the international bankers, you know, their whole intent in generating the Civil War was to make America weak because they were they were concerned it was getting far too strong. But if Lincoln can print his own money without paying interest on that money, then that would make the U.S. the most powerful nation in the world. They couldn't have that. So Lincoln was assassinated.
Mm-hmm. But and you talk about, I mean, this is part of the book. This is within the book.
This is in the book.
That is really, we're going to have to take a break in a minute. I hope everybody listening can kind of get this, how interesting this is, that within the spiritual tale here in the Silent Steps of Grace, there is important and interesting kind of information about politics and kind of the shape of the world we live in and how it came to be this way and the different kinds of forces that we're all, confronting every day. This is Intuit University, and we're going to be right back.
Change your coffee experience forever with Camino Island Coffee Roaster. Fair trade, certified organic, shade-grown delicious coffee. The Camino Island Coffee Roasters are giving back. Receive a free pound of the most popular single origin coffee, Papua New Guinea, to the first 100 callers. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. Just pay $8.95 shipping and handling, and you can try triple certified coffee for yourself. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. This is a free pound of coffee that retails at $16.95. Once you've tried this coffee, you will automatically be enrolled in the Coffee Lovers Club for free and will always receive free shipping and nearly 30% off retail of your coffee orders. This coffee is going to knock your socks off. That number again is 855-GET-TOP-1. We say top one because this coffee is the top 1% grade. That's 855-438-8671.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
If you are new to quantum techniques, it's easy to get a free 30-minute one-on-one session with a QT practitioner. All you need to do is make a minimum purchase of $25 from our online store at quantumtechniques.com, and you will receive a session with a QT practitioner that is worth $200. Click on the Discover Health Today in the Moving Banner section near the top of our website's homepage to get more information. Take advantage of this today.
Join Deborah Diane's live clearing teleconferences to move through blockages with this extremely efficient modality that allows for simultaneous clearing for everyone in the group without having to discuss details or engage in processing. Deborah intuitively facilitates these sessions in a fast-paced and fun environment, so every call is unique to that particular group. You'll be amazed at the amount and depth of clearing benefiting everyone on the call. To register for a teleconference, go to ConsciousRepatterning.com and click on the Register tab to reserve your space in the next call.
Tune in each Tuesday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Quantum Techniques Talk Radio. Bring healing to chaos. This hit show will empower you to take charge of your own healing and take back your life. You'll be reminded of your innate connection to the divine through the teachings of world-renowned healing practitioners who'll provide the tools necessary to discover how to heal yourself and others. Did you know you can even prevent disease? Absolutely. Get ready to invoke the miracle of self-healing physical or non-physical causes of stress, pain, and illness. Discover toxins, pathogens, structural issues, trauma, emotions, relationships, generational issues, spiritual problems, and wrong beliefs blocking you from living a phenomenal life. Break free from the chaos and take charge of your own healing. Visit quantumtechniques.com for more information.
Hello. Hello, everybody. This is Sherry Dillard. You're listening to Intuit University, and you can find me on www.sherrydillard.com. Please sign up for my website, my newsletter. I'd love to send you out a little bit more about what I'm up to. We're talking today with Alan Mesher. We're talking about his novel, his first novel, The Silent Steps of Grace. Alan is an energy healer and has been for many years. You can find out more about him on his website, www.alanmesher.com. Right before the break, we were talking about some of the political intrigue that is woven throughout the book, The Silent Steps of Grace. We're talking about Presidents Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy. And there's other really interesting kind of woven into the story, political, historic kind of events. And Alan, where would you like to go with that?
Let me just finish up with the comparison of Kennedy and and Lincoln, because as I was saying before the break, Lincoln was assassinated just after he was inaugurated in his second term, and there's a really specific reason why they waited until the second term and not in the first, and it's because of Lincoln's vice president. Lincoln's vice president in his first term was the former governor of the state of Maine, and this particular individual, and this is an important point, was not a Freemason. Lincoln's next vice president was Andrew Johnson, who was a 32nd degree Freemason and head of the Masonic Order in the state of Tennessee. That is a crucial point, because there is a great relationship between Freemasons and the Illuminati. They're one, they're really one and the same.
Alan, for those people who are listening who are wondering what the heck is that, just real quick, what's a Freemason?
Well, Freemason is a secret society, and it's a huge one.
And it's a secret society that has a hand in politics and control and...
And it's all explained in the book.
Okay, great.
They wanted to get rid of Lincoln, but they wanted to make sure that their boy would be installed in the presidency, which was Andrew Johnson. Okay, segue forward 100 years later, Kennedy's assassinated, another Johnson takes over from the South, who is also a Freemason. And what does Lyndon Johnson do? Well, he stops dead the Treasury's printing of Treasury notes backed by silver and recalls those $4 billion. The Fed goes on printing money like it never happened. Nothing happens to the CIA, and the Vietnam War ensues. Bingo, bango.
Right.
Nothing changed except that Kennedy got himself killed trying to save his country,
right,
which is the way it goes in politics. Now, I just want to say briefly, because I know we only got a couple of minutes left here, back in the 1930s, there were a couple of great American patriots and heroes that virtually no one knows about. Mm-hmm. And their names are Smedley Butler, who was a lieutenant general of the Marine Corps, one of only two men in American history to win two Medal of Honors and a Marine Corps brevet for bravery. And the other one was a congressman from Pennsylvania who was the head of the Banking and Currency Commission in the House of Representatives, named Lewis McFadden. Both of these guys were great American heroes who really supported, kept democracy alive in America, and McFadden tried to keep the economy alive and point out the real causes of the Depression. And McFadden was killed for what he did, and Smedley Butler was fortunate enough to live out his life. So if you want to find some fascinating historical fact and information, this book is loaded with it. And it's very important that you know that, because spiritual development is one of the major keys not only to changing your life and transforming your life, but helping to change the world for the better. If enough people were to focus on their inner spiritual development, the world could change in a flash. We would stop being victims, because humanity was programmed with a victim consciousness. And as long as we have that, we will continue to attract oppressors to this reality. But if we were able to get rid of that victim consciousness, then that would no longer occur, and the world would be very different. So if people are looking for a good read, a tremendous read, a real page turner, a great story that will really move them. Many people cry all the way through the book. They will get a moving story, they will get great metaphysical information, and they will get great historical information in a very important historical context, so they will understand just how important it is to develop their spirituality.
So, Alan, I know everybody's going to want to find out more. How would you suggest people go about buying the book?
Well, you know, you can find it on Amazon.com. Either type in my name, Alan Mesher, A-L-A-N-M-E-S-H-E-R, or the title of the book, The Silent Steps of Grace. Or they can go to my website, alanmesher.com, and they will come immediately to the page with a novel on it, and there will be all these different ways that they can purchase it. You can buy it from me, ship free, and you get a free inscription on it and a signed copy, and you can get it on Amazon, or you can get it as a Kindle book, or Barnes & Noble Nook, or iBook download. There are many ways to purchase the book.
So, Alan, what are you up to now? What's coming for you in the future?
Well, you know, I intend to do a lot of speaking and traveling. Mm-hmm. And continue doing my individual work, and I've got to get started writing Volume 2 of my trilogy.
Yeah, I am really looking forward to that. What do you have a specific time period? Is it going to be around the same time period, you think?
The next one will go from probably 1967 to sometime in the 1990s.
Oh, great. Yeah, that'll be real interesting. I can't wait to read that one, too.
And
you've been a great guest.
Sorts of,
yeah.
You know, lots of historical stuff will come forward.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm sure. Yeah, just, I tell you what, you've only touched on, there is so much in this book that you just barely touched on in terms of the historical information that you've been sharing with us. And obviously, like you said, the antidote to kind of dealing with the negativity and kind of downward cycle that this world always finds itself in politically and other environmentally at this point is the spiritual life and is the inner work that we all are hopefully more and more every day focused and concentrated in lifting our own consciousness above the that dense energy of control, because that can't rise to the higher levels. And so it's
levels. Exactly, and that is the only hope. I mean, the whole movement to arm yourself, get guns, and all this, what's that going to do except bring down martial law? There's no way you can stand up against an organized army. Forget it.
Yeah, our freedom is in the higher realms. It's in our higher consciousness is where our liberation is. And we're going to have to close the show right now. Thank you so much, Alan, for being our guest.
My pleasure.
AlanMesher.com. This is Sherry Dillard at SherryDillard.com. And have a great day, everybody, and I'll talk to you. See you all next week.
You've been listening to Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Tune in each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. Each week, Sherry will combine call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as she supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information about Sherry and to schedule your personal session, visit www.sherrydillard.com. That's www.sherrydillard.com. See you next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Stop. Get out of that car. stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
There's a great hunger in this world for new lines of thought, because everywhere you look, they say that joy can just be bought. So please come and set aside some time to relax from frenetic. Transform your life. It takes a while, but results are magnetic. We aim to grasp the best in life and track the ways we grew. The how, the why, the what, wherefore, all this we share and do. But every now and then, we hope that you will share right back. Transformation Talk Radio wants you to hop on track. So calling all hosts, tall and small, of every size and hue, there's nobody we'd rather have to tell your tale than you. And if you have a tale to tell of how your life is changing, we'd love to hear you on the line, say how you're rearranging. So run, don't walk, to call us now. We'll set you up and show you how.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Join our radio family. Send us an email, host@transformationtalkradio.com, or call 1-800-930-2819. Host your own show. Let us help you bring your voice to the world.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.